that going through? All right. I'm going through. Huh? They have me turn this off when we sing. I know about these technical difficulties for you on the internet. Now, first of all, thank you for your prayers for Mickey Bell's mother, Mary Alice Hobbs. The service was this Wednesday, of course, and went very well. Got to see Jerry Weber, talk with Jerry Weber. Got to talk to William, who, from the time that Sunday, a couple of Sundays ago, when William was here, he had already gone to Peru and come back. And if you remember, he was we were in prayer concerning the pastor who was in charge of a big area of pastors and his response to the Black Book and Salvation for the Christian. And very well. Went extremely well. And as a matter of fact, there's a little community not far from where he was that they want he and Weber to come back and just do a Bible teaching week. And so things are looking good in Peru. So we might be doing some things down there. They're going to be they've translated the Black Book into Spanish that they can use down there, and that's primarily what they're using, and the Risleys are also going to be using it, and so things are happening. That's really good. In regard to the offering for the Risleys, do you remember what it was, Jim? I know they're throwing it right out on you. In fact,
like $745.
For the offering?
Well,
the special offering? No. That for the Harold Simonson contribution. But the church, we took up that offering a couple of Sundays ago. That's what I thought, about $2,000. So we'll be sending them close to $3,000 and talk to John, and they can really use it. So that's really good. And then Wednesday, the 23rd. Now, I know the Holy Spirit does not guide y'all to come to class on Wednesday night, but hopefully you will work it out and try to be here Wednesday, the 23rd. Joe, who is written up in the Grace Gospel Missions, is going to be here. He and his mother will be here Wednesday night, the 23rd. Please try to arrange your schedule. I'd like to have some people here to hear Joe. He's been teaching twice a day, 2.5 hours each time, to two different groups of pastors. And then when he has his time off, goes into the villages, which is what he really likes to do. So you'll have the opportunity this morning. He is speaking in an assembly in Phoenix. And so he'll be here the 23rd, that Wednesday night. So please be in prayer, and please try to arrange your schedule to hear him. And you need to know a little bit about Joe. You can read it in the Grace Gospel Bulletin. So we've got a picture of him there. We'll have some back up here in that respect. Let's see. Continue to be in prayer. I didn't finish that one. Continue to be in prayer for Mike as just gets everything taken care of with his mother being promoted home. Met his two cousins. They're twins and about his age. And we just had a wonderful time. Got to talk to, as I said, Jerry Weber. And things are working to get some things done in Peru through him. So it was a very productive time. Now, this coming Friday, the 18th, we're going to have the kids over at my house, and they're dividing this thing up. I'm going to be interested to see how this goes. But the 3rd to 7th graders, won't you tell them?
The youth group is going to meet at Herman's house on Friday night at 7 o'clock, and we're going to have the 3rd through 7th graders come for the first 30 minutes and have him teach them there. We've already got quite a good sized group, I think, headed your way. So, and then we will break and have an ice cream social with all the children, 3rd through high school. And then after the ice cream, we're going to shoo the little ones back home, and the older children will stay. That'll be from 8th grade on up to hear some additional teaching.
Okay.
So two different levels of teaching, two different types of, you know, but at least the children will all be together one time for some social gathering. So we're really looking forward to it. If you have neighbors you'd like to send over,
Okay. Since we're sending the younger ones home, and then am I supposed to talk about sex to the older ones? And, perhaps. Oh, okay. Okay. So, any questions on the Friday night, young peoples? That'll be a lot of fun, and. My wife's already started cleaning. I don't know why she started cleaning now. I would have started Friday morning. And,
no, I'm going to do it Saturday.
So, be Friday at starting at 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock Friday. Any questions? Okay. Depending on that. Let's talk about our prayer. Tish, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Pretty good?
Yeah.
Is your poison still there?
No, I don't think.
You can stand on it a long time now?
Yeah.
Good. All right. Yeah. Very good. All right. We'll continue being prayer for the cancer then.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Let's continue to be in prayer. Lila. I have Lila here this morning. And happy about that. Be in prayer for Cindy, for Wanda, and Mick, and Don. So please be in prayer for these people. Be in prayer for our young people. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes.
You said remind you about our friend Debbie, who would be undergoing a 5-month surgery.
Yes.
Houston.
Yeah. And how?
And he's 71.
71. Okay. So we need to be in prayer. And yes.
Vern, our friend Vern.
Yes.
His prostate cancer has returned.
Burns about what, 65, 64? Well, we need to be in prayer for Burn, and that's going to be tough on his wife and family. Okay, so we'll be in prayer for Burn. Any other requests, prayer? Okay, I encourage, yes!
I told my wife, my son that you were praying for him during his examination.
Yes.
And he extended his thanks to you.
Okay.
For your prayer. And
now he's through with it today, isn't he?
Yeah. He came from a 32-hour duty.
Wow.
He didn't even have a chance to open his book, and he said, "I was falling asleep while I was taking his time, but I feel something was tapping me on the shoulder."
Wow.
He said, "Thank you."
You know, sometimes I found if I opened that textbook, it just confused me before a test. But we'll be in prayer that he did well. My goodness, very good. Very good. And let's see. Got a couple from Tulsa. Here, introduce your wife.
My wife, Delphia.
And this is Jamie.
We used to go to dance church in Tulsa.
So. Yes,
huh?
We went to Dan Hill's church.
Yes. Yeah. And we're glad they just moved into the Dallas or Plano area. So we're glad to have them. Very good. All right. Any other issues? Yes.
Sandy, I requested you about Orlando and Tiffany, her daughter.
I was thinking this was Orlando. Orlando, how you doing? We've been praying for you. How you doing?
Appreciate
it. All right. The word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined as one who has personally accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, by faith alone, in Christ alone. But it's not only for that. It's not just a matter of being a believer. Paul said, if I give everything that I own to feed the poor so that I myself become poor, it profiteth nothing without love. So the offertory is not only just for the born-again believer, but it is for the believer who knows how to be filled with the Holy Spirit by faith in the Holy Spirit. So with these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory. We have many things going on in the mission field, young people, publications. So let's prepare ourselves for the offering. Heavenly Father, as we come to this facet of worship, we are reminded of the two great spheres of freedom that are involved. The political, economic freedom that we enjoy in this country. The freedom to do with our lives as we see fit. Make mistakes. Make good choices. This is freedom. We wouldn't want to take that away. The freedom, Heavenly Father, to believe in Jesus Christ or not. The freedom to worship wherever we choose and why. Whom to marry and why. What to do with our time and certainly our money. We have some wonderful freedoms in this country, and Father, we are most appreciative for the men and women who served in this country's history to provide us this freedom. And who are serving right now in harm's way. But we cross this freedom, Heavenly Father, with the great freedom wherewith we have been set free through the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the subsequent resurrection. For it is in this realm of freedom that we have eyes to see how to use our political economic freedom, whom to marry and why, where to live and why, where to worship and why, what to do with our time, what to do with our money. It's a spiritual realm that gives us eyes to see. Otherwise, we would be like the unbeliever and waste away our political economic freedom. Father, we are most appreciative for the work of Christ on the cross and the resurrection. And we pray now that you receive the offerings that we're about to give, and that you will continue to use these offerings to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Two things I forgot. The first being, my wife wants me to relay to you. Went to the cardiologist last week, and my blood pressure was so high they wouldn't even let me leave the hospital. And so they're monitoring it and keeping on top of it. So please be in prayer. And then the other is that Friday night, had a wonderful time in Frisco. Edna has founded and put together this foundation. It's on top of the park, Waring Park, and there's a little archway, and then there's a beautiful granite memorial. to those who died in 9-1-1, and every year the 9-1-1 they celebrate. And there was a lady there who spoke. Her sister was on the plane that crashed in Pennsylvania, and she was pregnant, and both died, of course. And in that crash, she was there. There was a fireman who had been in New York. He was there, the mayor of Frisco. And it was just a very nice, they played Taps and Amazing Grace by bagpipe. It was just a very good, it was cut short because the sky just looked black. I mean, it was just right there, ready to come down. And but I got in my prayer, and I got in the gospel, so we got that done. But thank you very much, Edna. That was just really, really well. And I'm really sorry because Edna's like me. She came up with a whole bunch of pages, and all she got was one or two pages read because of the weather. They had to cut it short. But boy, she was ready to go. We'd been there to midnight, man, and that was good. All right, overseas. All right, sir. Okay. All right. Very good. And finally, before we go into prayer, poor Steve. Steve, I just can't believe you. Just a poor guy. I think we're going to have a clothes check before people come in. For y'all that don't know, he's wearing a Pittsburgh Steelers shirt. I can't believe that's just blatant. I mean, my goodness. God opened up the earth and sucked people in when they did that. Okay, let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Word. Let's open the Scriptures to Genesis 1 just to get ourselves ready as far as passage. What we're looking at, we're in Romans chapters 1 through 4, and the heart of Romans 1 through 4 is why the gospel. Why the need for God to become man and die on a cross. Why the gospel. We're dealing with the total depravity of man. One of the primary reasons that people confused on the gospel, wanted to add works to the gospel, invite Jesus into your heart, make him Lord, do this, do that, add anything to the gospel other than just believe in Jesus Christ, is because they do not understand the total depravity of man. Once you grasp the total depravity of man, you will be appreciative for the grace of the gospel every day. You will be so appreciative. But as long as we think that we're just a little okay, I'm pretty good compared to that person. I'm pretty good here. I don't do really bad things to little bugs. I'm okay. This type of thing. I'm not a bad person. And as long as you see yourself that way, you're not going to appreciate the gospel, grace. You've got to understand that we're all totally depraved. The other night I watched a film. What's the name of it? And it's a story of a concentration camp in Poland. And I really recommend if you can get it to watch it. It's the most vivid film I've ever seen. It's the most vivid. Even real film. This was just so vivid, even over seeing actual shots of walking the Jews into the gas air buildings and the way they treated them. It was just so vivid and so heavy. And I thought, boy, if you really want to see total depravity, and I'm not just talking about the guy who turns the switch of the gas but a guard who will push these Jews into that building. And the things that they did. But you know what we think? I'm not that bad. Yes, people, we are. We are. And until you acknowledge this, you're not going to appreciate the gospel. You believe it and you're saved. But as far as thanking God for His great salvation, when you see yourself as one of those guards standing there, pushing these Jews into there, killing them, doing the things that they did, it gives a picture of what total depravity is about. But we don't like to acknowledge total depravity. Just, I can't be that way. Mankind cannot be. There are those that are that way, but not all of us. Not me. The people, we're all under total depravity. And that's what we need to look at before we continue in Romans. Get a picture of what he's talking about in the necessity of the gospel. And why we got to be so frank and firm on the gospel. By faith and only faith. Not by inviting Jesus, not by making him Lord, not by committing, not by repenting, not by confessing. Just faith is all that we can do. And we need to give thanks for that. It doesn't depend on us. So let's begin with a word of prayer and then go into our study this morning. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Holy Scriptures that you have given to us. We are confined to this book to learn about Satan. We are confined to this book to learn about Jesus Christ. We are confined to this book to learn about ourselves. There's no other book on earth that even comes close to revealing things that we find in Scripture. But Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the Holy Spirit who enlightens us, who illuminates the truth of Scripture to us. We live in a time in the world where the world is more and more turning against this book, setting it aside, finding different reasons to discredit it. And we understand why Satan would have this book discredited, because it reveals the truth about him. But it also reveals the truth about us. We pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things that we need to see, so that we might come more humbly before you, more appreciative of who and what you are and what you've done for us in the gospel. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we started last week looking at the doctrine of total depravity of man, the grace of God. And as we understand this, you'll understand the gospel. Now, we hate to admit, to even acknowledge, to even think about that we're all totally depraved. Just can't be, I'm not. Those are horrible concepts. But all we have to do is look at history and see that we're totally depraved. And then I want to give you one more time, and maybe start it each time this way. Do not be afraid of total depravity. Total depravity is a blessing. It really is a wonderful blessing. Because we're totally depraved, God can do everything for us. And has done everything for us. So it really is a wonderful truth in Scripture. Now, last week we started in Genesis chapter 1, and all I'm doing here is looking at the complaint or the objection to total depravity, but we're created in the image of God. How can something that is created in the image of God become totally depraved? It can't. Well, we got to understand what being created in the image of God is. So that's all I want to do with this Genesis part. And then we're going to go to what calls total depravity. Then we'll take a look at total depravity. Laying this foundation is essential in appreciating the whole concept of total depravity and answering some of the challenges as to what total depravity is all about. So let's start off in Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." Now you recall, very quickly, there are four main issues to cover in going through verse 26. The first one is the plural. The plural. Let us. We've got to deal with that plural. The second main issue is the single word to make. Let us make, as compared to another word translated create. Make and create. So we're going to have to deal with the word make. And I'm just trying to make this verse very simple for you. It can get long. Some commentators that I've read just sort of pass over it. And that's fair. I'd rather pass over than try to fake their way through it. Others spend a long time, you don't know what they said. So we're just going to go through what composes this verse. And then the third issue are the two prepositions. There are two prepositions. One preposition, in, and the second preposition, according to. According to. And then the fourth issue is, of course, the two words, image and likeness. Are they different? And if they are different, how do they differ? So these are the things that we are in the midst of looking at. Okay, we've already covered our first problem, the plural. Then God said. And then he's going to say, let us. Okay, who is us here? It's not God and angels. We're not created in the image of angels. So we can discount that right off. The solution is found in the word God. In the word God. In the word God, the Hebrew word is the word Elohim. And that's E-L-O-H-I-M. And that H-I-M is plural suffix. So we have the Elohim, God. This is referring to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And even these designations, Father, Son, and Spirit, are going to help us understand image and likeness. Because while we call one the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're totally equal. I mean, they are absolutely equal. Essence, being, everything. So, but we designate one Father, one Son, one Holy Spirit. That's going to help us understand how we're created in the image and likeness of God. So that takes care of the plural of a part of our problem. Now, let us make. The word to make, becomes issue. It is the Hebrew word asa. I'll just transliterate, A-S-H. And I'm not doing that to impress, but just let some of these words are going to have meaning for you, like when we come with asa, and we're going to compare that with bara. Now, you can see they're entirely different words. Whatever they mean, whatever they look like in Hebrew, they're obviously entirely different words. Well, they're going to be a part of our discussion in understanding man and the creation in the image of God. People, this is not only going to help us in understanding total depravity. We live in a time when man just rejects the Bible, and being wise, we become fools, that we're here by evolutionary process, all these kinds of things. These are just things we need to settle down in our soul. Get firm foundation on so that we can move on in our study. So we're dealing with the word asa. This word helps us to guide us through this most misunderstood verse. There are two words of importance here, and both have to do with bringing something into being. And we have asa, this word, which means to bring into being out of something. Out of something. So this word means You have something, and you make something else. It's like if we've got mortar and all, we make a building. We've made it out of something already existing. Now, there is another word in chapter 1, verse 1. Look at chapter 1, verse 1 of Genesis. 1:1. It's translated create. And this word is bara. B-A-R-A. Now, bara has different meanings, but in the cow, that's a stem in Hebrew, in the cow perfect, this means to create, to bring into existence out of nothing. There's nothing there, and God just brings it into existence. He speaks, and it's there. So we have two different words. I saw to make. You got the material, you make something out of it. Then you've got create, which means you've got nothing, and yet now you have something where God just spoke and it became. So we have two different words, and the word in Genesis 1:1 is the word bara. This distinction is not absolute of bara. It doesn't mean create out of nothing every time. But when you have it in the cow perfect in the Old Testament, it means to create out of nothing. Now let's continue where we left off last Sunday morning. Let us make man. Okay, we have man now. This isn't one of our issues, of the four issues we had, but the word for man is Adam. Adam. That's the word for man. Let us make man, or Adam. This word means to make, means to manufacture out of something. Let us make man. Okay, what does this tell us right now? If you hear what I'm saying, let us make man. Make means to create out of something. So what does this tell us? This is not the original creation of man. That's one of the most important things you want to know, and as we go through this verse in dealing with our study of total depravity. This is not the original creation of man. His body was made out of the dust of the ground, but not his soul. The soul was created out of nothing. We haven't come to that yet. The essence of the soul is basically the same in every member of the human race. We are all different race, different sex, different cultures, different, but the soul structure is basically the same for all, from the time of Adam to the last person in the history of man. All the same. Doesn't matter the education, doesn't matter when they reach accountability, the soul makeup is basically the same in all members of the human race. Now, here's where we're going to get a kick. We each have a distinct personality or makeup. We each have a distinct personality or makeup. This is different in each individual. We all have the same structure. It's like the human body. We all have the same structure. But in dealing with the soul, we have different personality. Man's personality, here's the point, man's personality is manufactured, made out of something. Man's soul is made out of nothing. Man's personality is made out of something. What's it made out of? It's made out of the structure of the soul, the essence of the soul. And from this we're going to have male, female, these type of things. But also from this, we have multitude, just as many different people, personalities. Adam, the first man, had one personality. Eve, the first woman, had another personality. They had the same essence of soul, but they had different personalities. So Asa, let us make man, let us make Adam. Asa is used here, this is a word you want to write down if you want to keep this straight. Asa is used for the making of man's personality. It's made out of something. It's made out of the soul, which was made out of nothing. The plural indicates all members of the Godhead are present. All members of the Godhead are involved in this making. Put it personally, your specific personality is specifically made by God. If you don't like your personality, take it up with Him in heaven. Don't let somebody try to change your personality. Take that up with Him. We each have different there's no such thing as a Christian personality. That is one of the worst things religion has done. Try to get everybody to have the same type of personality. No such thing as a Christian personality. One of the most wonderful things in the Spirit-filled life, give you encouragement to walk by faith in the Spirit. You're free to be who God created you to be. You have no controls, no body. No, you are free. The Holy Spirit, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, stand firm in the freedom wherewith you have been set free. In Christ, in the power of the Spirit, you're free to be to whoever you want to be, whoever you are, and God made you in your personality. That's why I encourage husbands and wives should encourage their husbands and wives to walk in the Spirit, because that's who they really are. You've got to love them, their sin nature too. But who they are, their personality shines when they're walking in the power of the Spirit, and especially when spiritual love starts flowing through. That's who we really are. So, asa, translated to make, A-S-A-H, to make, it refers to the making of man's personality, not the original making of man. That's his soul, out of nothing. Your personality is specifically made by God. This decree has nothing to do with the creation of man, of the first man. That's bara, create out of nothing. Here the word means to build a personality out of the essence of the soul. Let us make man. Adam became a living soul, and out of that soul was made a personality. Adam had one personality. The woman Eve had another personality. Their personalities are different. They have the same essence of soul, different personalities. So our verb, to make, is used for the making of man's personality out of the essence of his soul. Now, the important thing to grasp is that this has nothing to do with original creation of man. Let's be sure we got that clear. It's not talking about the original creation of man. It's talking about the making of the personality of man. How do we know that? Because of the verb used, to make. To manufacture out of something. Let's stop here and note a simple principle. It never was God's intention for there to be one personality in Christianity. It was never God's intention for there to be one personality that symbolized Christianity. And this goes all the way back even before Christ, but all through history. It's no such thing. You're all different in personality. And this is the way it should be. How boring if we all had the same personality. We wouldn't know who to marry, who to fight with, who to love. We all had that. Because each one of us an individual personality. And it isn't a matter of working to bring it out. It's just a matter of letting the Holy Spirit bring it out. You are all different in personality, and that's a wonderful thing. Spirituality does not change personality. It enhances, it enriches. It brings out who we are, what you like, what you don't like, the way you laugh, all these things. And this is what attracts people to people. And so this is the distinction. This is what makes us humans. Walking in the Spirit, growing in the Christian life, does not change personality. In fact, what it should do is to have your real personality just shine through. It overrules the sin nature. When you and I are walking in the Spirit, we overrule the sin nature. The sin nature wants to control. Sin nature wants you to be a certain type of personality. Sin nature wants you to do these things. But not God's design of our personality and the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's look at our text. Let us make man, Adam, referring to the human race now. I'll show you this later, but the word Adam can refer to the first male, or it can refer to all members of the human race. It's used both ways. It can refer to the first male, Adam, or it can refer to Adam, the whole the human race. Let us make man, Adam, referring to the human race, to making personality. And then he says, in our image. Okay, now we come to the fun part. Here we have the next two vital issues. We've covered the plural. We've looked at the word to make. Now we have our first preposition and word. So we have our first preposition, and our first preposition is in. In. Looks like this in the Hebrew if you're interested. Alright? If you're not interested, that's what it looks like. Alright? Okay, so this is in. In. Then we have the word image. In our image. Now, image refers to a pattern. Slim. That's the way it looks like in the Hebrew. Transliterated. Now, this word further defines what is meant here. We have make helps us understand we're not talking about the original soul because it's a soul made out of something. Now, this word, slim, image, further helps us define these things. This Hebrew word is rare, occurring only 18 times in all the Old Testament. 10 refer to physical imagery. And that's not what we have here. This is not physical. It's from the Arabic. I got to take 1 year in Arabic because we had a professor at Dallas who was a genius in Arabic and in Semitic languages, and we got to do that. And many of our Hebrew words are cognates of, meaning they derive from the Arabic. So this is an Arabic word meaning to cut. Means to cut. It means image. Image. Likeness. Model. It refers to something, here's if you're taking notes, it refers to something that is real but invisible. Real but invisible. See, one of the great problems with marriage today and sex and love is that all that most people can do is just see what's visible. They see the body. They see the bank account. They see these things. That's not the real. That's not reality. Reality is who the person is in their soul. That personality, that being, who they are. That's real. Invisible. Invisible, yet very real. And you got to take time. You young people have to take time and examine the unseeable, the invisible. How do you see the invisible? Well, there are ways. But we just get our eyes checked on the obvious, and then we lose sight of what the real person is. So it refers to something that is real but invisible. Now, people, please don't get heavy laden on me. I've got to go through. This is what the passage is. This is why these verses are not very well understood, because you've got to work your way through them. I can't just stand up here and give you some glowing message and move on. This Hebrew word refers to an image, refers to something that is real in essence, but invisible. And that's what this word refers to. And people, that is God. Okay, created in His image. What is God? What is God? God is real, but God is invisible. He's real, but He's invisible. In the image of God. Real, but invisible. First, God is the exact model. God is the exact model in our image. Exact model. What is being spoken of here? Whatever is being spoken of here, it is an image of God. Patterned after God. Two, God is real. God is invisible. God has essence. righteousness, justice, love, sovereignty, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence. All these are real. Very real. But they're invisible. Can't see them. Now, let's take it to our study. We, members of the human race, have a soul. It's invisible. We all have a body that's just carrying the soul. Everybody's body is basically the same, but as we all know, they can be made to look so different, it's unbelievable. You can't believe sometimes the same model, but it's the same basic model. Two arms, two legs, head, all these things, front. And then we get our eyes focused on that. But we have to understand that what we are is an invisible soul. No one can see the soul. The soul resides inside the skull. But if you were to break open the human skull, you still wouldn't see the soul. Now, I read some time ago, they ran these tests. They put people on a scale that were getting ready to die. And when they did die, they dropped weight. It's really weird. And I don't know if that's been advanced or anything about it, but just sharing that with you. Don't go to the bank with that. But it was an interesting study. These were not Christians. These were just medical people that weighed in the hospital, in this hospital, and there was a difference in weight once they did die. But you crack open the skull, you're not going to see the soul. And you will see a lot of things, a lot of physiology there, a lot of gray matter, all out of the brain. But you're not going to see the soul. You're not going to see the personality. You're not going to see the self-consciousness, the volition, the emotion, the things that make us who and what we are. You will not see personality. You will not see it. You will not see the soul. You will not see personality. They're invisible. They're real, but they're invisible. And because they're invisible, we don't spend a whole lot of time on them. Unfortunately, parents don't spend much time in America today either on those. Those are very important, dealing with our personality. Okay, let's continue now. God is one. Mankind is one. In essence, God is one in essence. Mankind is one in essence, in soul. But each member of the Godhead is unique in personality. Each member of the Godhead is unique in personality. Mankind is one. But each unique in personality. Now, I'll put all this together, but let's just keep working our way through our passage. So, now the next phrase, according to our likeness. Okay, now here we have yet another preposition, according to. And we have another word, likeness. We've had image, now we have likeness. So here we come to our second preposition and our second word. The preposition as or according to. That's our second preposition. Looks like this in the Hebrew. Okay, now. We have another word, not asa, but this time we have the Hebrew word damuth, D-A-M-U-T-H, damuth. Here's asa, here is damuth. Okay, so you can see these words are different. What do they mean? We're going to find out, but they're different words. Now we say in our likeness, first in our image. Now, in our likeness. according to our likeness. Okay? A couple of things. One, these two words are distinct. These two words are distinct. As you see, they're two different Hebrew words and English words. Image and likeness. These two words are distinct. And they present distinct aspects of man. These are distinct, presenting two aspects of man's nature. Two, these are the words that distinguishes man from the animal kingdom. Not physical. Not material. But invisible, yet real. The Hebrew word according to our likeness is the Hebrew word damuth. This refers, damuth, refers to God's personality being. Man has personality, God has personality. And people do not make light of the whole study. It's part of the study of mankind. Is man a mere animal? Is man simply a unit of physics that needs to be fed and taken care of? Socialism, communism, taking care of your health, taking care of your, just kind of taking care of you like you do an animal. A rancher takes care of his cattle. He breeds them. He feeds them. He does all these things, takes care of them. Is that all that man is? Is man nothing more than a higher form of an animal that needs to have these things taken care of? Just take care of those things and he's okay. Or is man unique from animal? Is man different from animal? Does man have a soul? Does man have volition? Does man have responsibility in his soul? Or are we just animals like we're being told we are? We're just animals in the government. There are those who are higher who know how to take care of us who are lower. They know how to make best decisions for us. They know how to take care of us. They know how to provide for us. They know how to make everything work well. And you don't have to worry about anything. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people who like that. There are a lot of people who just take care of me. I don't want to have to think. I don't want to have to do. And if that's all that we are, then that's all that history is about. But if we are unique, if we are created in the image of God and made in the image of God, in the likeness of God, then something's different with us. And every one of us at various times, we know we're not just animal. We know that when we die, the body just doesn't return to the earth and that's it. No, there's something else after death. I don't even understand it. I don't have a high school education. I don't understand, but I know this is not the end. And that's what bothers me. Now I have to deal with that. See, as long as we deny that there's something after death, you don't have to deal with it. Denial is the best policy. But the moment you acknowledge, now you have responsibility. It's like a couple. As long as you deny there's any problem in your marriage, you don't have to deal with it. You do not have to deal with it because there is no problem. My wife makes up a problem. My husband makes up a problem. There really isn't one. Don't have to deal with it. The moment I say, there's a problem in our marriage, now I have responsibility. There's a problem with our children. Our children are all right. They're just like everybody else's children. Don't worry about that. Just let it go. I love Rodney Dangerfield. He told his wife his children were spoiled. And she said, no, they all smell that way. But if you deny that there's any problem, you don't have to deal with it. The moment you say, our child has a problem, got to do something about it now. As long as you deny God, deny life after death, deny that you are unique, deny that you are different than angel and different than God and different than animal, got to deal with it now. Now I have to make some decisions about what I want after life. How do I want my afterlife to be? How do I want my life now to be? How do I want these things to be? People, these are questions not for philosophers. These are questions for farmers. These are questions for workmen. These are questions for every human being. We try to put them over there for the philosophers. But they're not. Each of us have to make our own individual decisions. And this isn't just in a civilized society. You can go through all through history. Study the tribes in Africa. They know they're different than animal. They deal with it differently. It's just something we know and we have to deal with it. So we're in a very important part of our study, and we're going to find out what happened at the fall. Okay. So, Hebrew word, according to our likeness, Hebrew damath. All right, now, Elohim said, let us, members of the Godhead, make out of something the human race in our image after our pattern, after our likeness. Okay, let's summarize this and then move on. See if we can get this down where we can understand what we're dealing with here. My goal is that a sixth grader will be able to take this verse and explain it to someone. If he can't, then I'm not doing my job. If he's in the power of the Spirit. I'll blame it on the Holy Spirit. Okay, one. The soul of mankind was created by God. Bara, B-A-R-A, out of nothing. Created out of nothing. It is invisible, just as the essence of God is invisible. Okay, let me just stop and talk with you. Here's God, and I'm just talking humanly here. I want to make this creature. So, what am I going to use as my framework? What am I going to use as my framework for making this creature? I've got to add something. So, you know what? Let's use ourselves to pattern how we're going to create man, how we're going to bring him into being, things we're going to give him. So this is what it means. God, it isn't that God hears God and then, well, let me think. What can I make him like? Make him like a box? Make him like this? Da, da, da. No. Ourselves. Let's create this being so that we can have fellowship with him. So that we can make covenants with him. So that we can relate and he can relate to us. So let's use our own divine makeup to create this man. That's why we're unique, people. No, we're not God. We never will be God. But he created us after his design so that he could have fellowship with us. We're unique. This thing of man, we don't have this kind of information with angels. I don't want to get involved in all of that, but we don't have that. We do with man. God wanted something special from us, people. God wanted fellowship with us. What's your view of God? Your view of God is this God up there and you've got to be good for it, he's going to come get you? It's your view of God who loves you, wants to have fellowship with you, and does all that he can do, sending his son to die on a cross, that he can have fellowship with us. So, point one, the soul of mankind created. That includes design. Designed and created, if you please. Brought into being. Bara, out of nothing. Well, if it's out of nothing, what did he use as his design? What did he use? What was his? I got to have something to create it out of. Himself. So that we could relate to him. It is invisible. Just as the essence of God is invisible. Point two. human essence is, of course, not the same as divine essence. But they both have essence. But human essence is not the same as divine essence. But both are real and both are invisible. And now we can add, both can interrelate. These two invisible makeups, these two invisible entities can now interrelate with each other. God created man's essence to be invisible, just as God's essence is invisible. People, when you fall in love with someone and it's real, we do have the body, but it's the souls. And you can't touch it. You can't see it. That's who you love. That's who you love. Not that body. That soul. That person. That personality. That sense of humor. The way they think. All these things. That's who we fall in love with. Now the body is an expression. But we're talking about the real person. So point three, God's essence is invisible, but real. Man's essence is invisible, but real. Get down to who we are. All this is so important, dealing with total depravity, dealing with the gospel, dealing with who and what we are in time, who and what we are for all eternity. People have all these questions about, every time I've been doing so many funerals, and all these questions about what about eternity, what are we going to look like, what are we going to do this, what are we going to do that, all these things. People, be concerned about your soul. The bottle you put the wine in is just, that's so secondary. Build a, make a beautiful label and put it in there. And all, but it's what's in that bottle. It's the wine that's in that bottle. Is it vinegar? Is it water? Is it wine? That's what's important. God's got all those details taken care of. Got all these superficial details. We don't know about what happens to our soul, to our being. Point three, God's essence is invisible but real. Man's essence is invisible but real. Now point four. The word slim, T-S-E-L-E-M, translated image, emphasizes the invisible essence of mankind. Translated image, emphasizing the invisible essence or makeup of man. Five. While each member of the Godhead has identical essence, while each member of the Godhead has identical essence, each is unique. People, we're learning about man. We're learning about God. We're going to learn about total depravity. We're going to learn about salvation. We're going to learn the basics of how we live. While each member of the Godhead has identical essence, each is unique. Therefore, we have designations for each member of the Godhead. God the Father, denoting his personality. God the Son, denoting his personality. God the Spirit, representing his personality. They each possess the exact same image, co-equal, co-eternal. So while each member of the Godhead has identical essence, each has unique personality. While each member of the Godhead has identical essence, each has a unique personality, Father, Son, Spirit. Now, I want to take the time to get number six. This is the only thing wrong with verse by verse and this type of thing. I wish we could just... In the old days, in the farming of America, what would happen, we'd have all these fields and y'all all be farmers and workers, and we'd come on Sunday morning, and we'd come in and we'd sing, and then you'd have teaching, and then you take a break, go out and eat, everybody, and then you come back and sing and teaching. So the whole day, a preacher got to cover a pretty good set of messages, if that was his leaning, guiding. But here we break it so we can go eat somewhere and do this other stuff. Okay. Point six. While each member of the human race, male, female, any race, have the same essence of soul. See, it's never changed. It hasn't changed. You know, we study stress, anxiety, and depression. Adam and Eve had to deal with that. It hasn't changed. It isn't tougher on us today. All through history, the soul has been the same. It's had to deal with stress, anxiety, depression, fear, guilt, shame, blah, 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 blah. It's all the same. Same soul. We change the way we travel, change the way we dress, change our medical, but we all have the same identical essence of soul. So point six, while each member of the human race have the same essence of soul, they each have a different and unique personality. And in Genesis 1:26, there is another word used called Damuth, D-A-M-U-T-H, Damuth, to indicate the personality of man in contrast with Slim, T-S-E-L-E-M, image, which denotes essence of soul. Now, I want to repeat that because this is the heart of the study. This will help you grasp the difference. Okay, let's just repeat it. In Genesis 1:26, we have the word Damuth, and then on the next line, D-A-M-U-T-H, translated likeness. Then we have Selem, T-S-E-L-E-M, translated image. Okay? Damuth, translated likeness, is used to indicate the personality of man. In contrast with Selem, which is translated image, denotes the essence of soul. So you got essence of soul and personality. We each have the same essence of soul, but we have different personalities. Let's see if we can get this down before we close. Every member of the human race has an essence of soul. That's Slim, our image. Image refers to being a member of the human race. Being mankind makes us in the image of God. We have an essence of soul. Likeness gives us invisible ability to interact with God, interact with each other. But self-consciousness manifests itself in a different way, each member of the human race, and that's what Damuth refers to. I don't want to stop now, but we've got to. But I want to come back and be sure that we got these two words down, what's being talked about in it. And if you want to have fun, just see where we've been and what's going on here, go on the internet and see what other people do with this. You're going to be shocked. It is just so unbelievable that how they get away with calling it working in the Bible, translating the Bible. But it's just go on the internet, look up this verse, see what things you get. And this is why it's difficult. It's difficult to grasp. What does it mean we're created in the image of God? God, does that mean I'm God? No. Then what does it mean to be image of God? Well, just remember, here's God. I'm going to create this creature called humanity. Now, how are we going to do this, guys? What are we going to use for our pattern here? What are we going to use for our likeness here? Let me think now. We've got this universe out here, got all these universes, got gravity, got the sun, got the moon, and we've even got these animals designed. What are we going to do? How are we going to make? Hey, let's use ourselves. Let's use our own selves. Invisible, real, personality, essence. That way we can interact with them. It's not that difficult of a thing. If you just take it, go backwards and say, just pretend, for I'm God, I'm going to create this man. What am I going to use as my example? How am I going to do this? How am I going to make him? I'm going to use myself as my image. Well, we can't make him God. We weren't even made. We are. We exist. So what does it mean then that we're in his image then? And then you come down to, essence, personality, invisible, real. These things that give us the ability to interact. Then we're going to see what the fall did. How the fall damaged these things. Where total depravity comes in. Then we're going to see what regeneration does. What happens when we're born again. So this is a great study. Let's close in a word of prayer. Any questions? Okay, I know there is, but let's close in prayer. We dedicate the closing moments this morning to anyone who may have come in. And you've never personally believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've walked an aisle, maybe you've invited Him into your heart. But you've never just believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior. We want to give you that opportunity right now, right where you sit. To just believe in Jesus Christ. Father, I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins as my Savior. The only issue is you and Jesus Christ. Not your life, not your vocabulary, not your friends, not your style, not anything. Just what is your attitude toward Jesus Christ? That's the only issue. What think ye of Christ? Oh, you may have to clean up these other areas, change your friends, dress, clothing, vocabulary, all that. Not an issue. The only issue, what think ye of Christ? And it's our prayer that everyone, before they leave here this morning, will believe in Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. You have eternal life. This invisible soul that we've been discussing will exist forever and ever. The issue is, where will it exist? You believe in Jesus Christ. It will exist with God. That's all. Just faith in Christ. And you'll be with God forever and ever. Peace. No more sorrow. No more tears. And if you do that this morning, you'll have a clue on what constitutes the Christian life. Somebody says, oh, to live the Christian life, you've got to be real good. To live the Christian life, you've got to go to church. To live the Christian life, you've got to do this. No, wait a minute. I was saved by grace through faith. That's the way I'm going to live. I'm going to live by grace through faith. I'm going to trust the Spirit to guide me in my life. That's what I'm going to do. See, you have it. You have the whole plan if you understand how you're saved. You have the whole plan marked out. By faith. Remember the Godhead, the one He sent. He sent His Son for eternal life. He sent His Spirit for spiritual life. Those who have made this decision, we have a decision each day. Each day. Renewed in the power of the Spirit. Renewed in spiritual love toward our husband, our wife, our children, our family, our friends. Renewed in regard to why am I here today. Renewed in regard to what comes out of my mouth. What I say to someone and how I say it. Is it spiritual love? Does it sound like spiritual love? Does it encourage like spiritual love? Does it build up like spiritual love? or does it break down? Does it attack? Each day, people were in a red alert battle to live for Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the text. Thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit and inspiring, guiding Moses as he wrote this text. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the work of the Holy Spirit in preserving the manuscripts through history, for Satan surely has sought to destroy these manuscripts. Then, Heavenly Father, we thank you now for the illuminating ministry of the Spirit. The writing of them, yes. Preserving of them, yes. Getting to them, compiling the Bible, yes. But if it wasn't for this morning, the illuminating ministry of the Spirit, we'd still be no better off. So, Father, we are most appreciative for the work of the Holy Spirit this morning. Pray you'll take these things that we're looking at now and go down and build a foundation in our soul about ourselves, about your grace and your love and the gospel. That we have a vitality, an energy, an enthusiasm, an enjoyment in living each day. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.